Praise the Lord, huh?
Oh, we're gonna just be a family in here this morning. There are children that are gonna be baptized in here this morning, one of them being my daughter that wants to be baptized. So we're just gonna be a family in here this morning. I opened my eyes from worship and the place is full. So praise God for that. It is good to see everybody. Why don't you turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And Lord, I don't know everything that's going on in the lives of the people that are here this morning. But Lord, I know you are faithful in all of it. Lord, no matter what's going on, Lord, you are faithful. So Lord, have your way in this service today. Minister to our hearts, Lord. Minister to my heart, Lord, I pray. Bring rest to the weary soul. Bring peace, Lord, to those that are confused. May all of it be for your glory. Lord, we are gathered together today under the banner of Jesus Christ. We're here to exalt the name of Jesus to the glory of the Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 8, if I can get my mind together here. This is right after that Stephen is martyred. This is when we first start seeing Saul comes on the scene and Stephen is martyred. And it says, I'm going to go ahead and read through the chapter. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many were taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and he was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this manner, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which thou hast spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he answered Philip, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he that was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? He says, of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. But the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached unto in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The persecution had scattered the church. It had scattered all the disciples. Other than the apostles, they were the only ones that remained in Jerusalem. And Philip goes to Samaria and begins to preach, and many are baptized, and you get the feeling that he's got this great ministry going on. All of a sudden, people are getting blessed, and people are getting baptized, and so much so that the apostles hear about it, and they've got to go down to Samaria and check it out. They go down to Samaria, and they realize that, well, the people aren't receiving the Holy Ghost. They're baptized, but let's lay hands on them and pray that the Holy Ghost would come upon them. And they begin praying for people, and Simon, you know, his heart, there's a whole message in and of itself right there, and he wants to buy it. It's like, I want that power. I want to be able to lay hands on people and have them receive the Holy Ghost. And the thing that got me is, he's got this, the ministry is going well. I mean, there's people getting saved, and there's people believing the gospel, and there's people being baptized, and all this stuff is going on. And suddenly God speaks to Philip and says, just go down here on the desert. Go down here. And everything is going good, and he sends him for one man. And part of this, I guess, is confession this morning. Part of this is that I'm just going to share my heart. I don't know what it is about the first of the year you get as a pastor. I've done this several years, and I wonder, and I look back in hindsight, why do I do that? But I get this pressure. It's like, where are we going this year? Where are we, you know, and I start looking at it, and are we doing what we're supposed to be doing, and are we doing the right thing? And I went through that the last month. I've been going through that, and this week was just brutal. And God stopped me Tuesday morning and said, why are you doing this? It's like, well, and in my heart, I thought God was walking me through this process. And he's like, why are you doing this? What's wrong with what you're doing right now? Why do you want to make it something different? And it's like, I don't know, but it's just been brutal. And all of a sudden, by the end of the week, it was like, just get back to the simplicity of it. Just get back to how simple the gospel message really is. Quit trying to make it something that it's not. Quit trying to, yes, does it go deep? Oh, you can study for a lifetime and feel like you're only standing ankle deep in it. It seems like it is so deep, you can just drown in the depth of the Word of God. But there is a simplicity to it that should never be lost. If we lose that, we've lost everything. there's a simplicity to it that just says, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? The scripture that he's reading from, Philip goes down, he's obedient, he goes down, the next thing you know, he sees this chariot and he hears this man. And it says that he's a eunuch and he's the treasurer of Candace the queen. And Candace is like the name, like Caesar was in Rome. Candace in Ethiopia, all the queens, they were called Candace. But he's the treasurer. This man is of great influence. This man, and he's gone to, obviously he believes in God. He's gone to Jerusalem to worship. And he's on his way back and he's reading this scripture and it's like he doesn't understand what's going on. And the Holy Spirit prompts Philip and says, yeah, run up there and catch up to him. And as he approaches his chariot, he hears this man reading the scripture and he says, do you have any idea what you're reading? He says, how can I unless somebody guide me in it? And he beckons Philip to get up into the chariot. And as they sit, he's reading out of Isaiah 53. Remember, they didn't have this. They didn't have the canon of scripture as we know it. He had scrolls. He had what we know as the Old Testament, or the scriptures that they had. And he's reading specifically those two scriptures in Acts 8, is quoting verses 7 and 8. But I'm going to read through Isaiah 53. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in death, because he had done no violence. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He was oppressed and was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? I read through this morning when I was down here, and I got to verse 6 when it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is, to me, this sounds brutal, but it really explains the truth of what Christ did for us. I saw all of my kids. In my mind, I was praying about this, and as I read through the scripture, it says, we all as sheep have gone astray. And I saw all of my children just kind of walking away. And it was just the example that the Lord showed me. And I saw all my children just being scattered and doing what they want. And it was like, it stirred me. It's like, wait a minute, come back. Come back. I need to, and they're all just going and doing what they want. Yet there was one who was innocent that stayed beside me. And because of all of their transgressions and because of their wandering away, I took it out on this one. I punished this one. They took this one, took the punishment of all the other ones going astray. This one. As I thought about this, it would be like what I pictured with Aaron, where I don't know if Hortensia and Gage, but it would be like holding Gage in your arms, or Cyrus, I'm sorry, holding Cyrus in your arms, and all of the other kids that have misbehaved in Sunday school would be, well, okay, after church, now we're gonna take it all out. He's gonna take all the punishment for all these other kids and what they've done wrong. Yet we're the kids. And none of us could imagine ourselves in our mind right now taking on and punishing a little innocent child. And why the Lord showed me the baby and why Cyrus was because of the innocence. That represents the innocence of Christ. We all have sheep, as sheep have gone astray. And the Father saw that it was right, and He clothed Himself in the flesh, and He came, clothed in the flesh of man. He came as a man. He lived a spotless, sinless life, and He was as innocent as that child that we hold in our arms. He was that innocent. Yet it pleased the Father to punish Him for our transgressions so that He could love us all again. What the Lord showed me was punishing the one child so that I could come and love the other one. Taking all the punishment and punishing the innocent one so that I could again love the other ones. Without having to, well, you know, you hug them and so often it's like, you know, I love you and I'm glad you're back, but you know there's going to be some consequences for your actions. That wasn't the Father. The Father took it all out on Jesus. All the punishment was on Him so that He could love us again. Without any of that stuff being in the way, the Father doesn't look at us and go, well, you know, you got some consequences coming here. You know, I know Jesus, He took it for you, but you got a few lashings coming. He took almost all of it, but you gotta bear with me on this one. That's not what it was. There's no strings attached to this. None. Nothing stops us from returning to the loving arms of the Father, except our unbelief. The Father's crying out and saying, here's my Son on the cross. He just took all your punishment so that you can come back. Do you believe it so much? It'd be like me standing here. All my kids have run out, robbed stores, run amok, done all the things they want to do. And I've punished this one innocent one, and I'm telling them all, you can come back. You're not going to be in trouble. There's no punishment or anything else. Just come back. Because this one's taking it all for you. You think they'd want to come? I don't know about that one, Dad. That one seems a little bit weird when you think about that. But that's the truth of it. Man's ways are not like that. We would not do that. Man's ways are, you play, you pay. I was taught that. You play, you pay. I knew the things that I was doing was wrong, and I knew there were consequences if I got caught. So I ran around out there in the world doing all the things I wanted to do and practicing not getting caught. Didn't work. Anybody else get away with all of it? Maybe you think you did, but you haven't. It's all going to come back around. We're going to be faced with it. But the truth of it is, do we believe that Jesus Christ took our punishment before God the Father so that we could come back into the loving arms of the Father and just say, I'm done. I broke me. I ran away. I've stepped outside of your love, but because of that sacrifice on the cross, here I am. I don't know what else to do. I'm broken. I'm done. I don't know what else to do. And the Father's going, ha, gotcha. That's all He wants. That's the simplicity of it all, is that Jesus Christ took our punishment for we as sheep going astray and doing whatever we wanted. That's the simplicity of it. I believe that's the simplicity that Philip shared with that eunuch sitting in that chariot that day. He shared with him, that you're reading about is Jesus Christ. And it was your transgressions that He died for. He's just returning from Jerusalem, worshiping, offering up sacrifices. He's just returning, and He's saying, wait a minute, you don't have to go do that anymore. This scripture, the reason you're reading this scripture is, this is the Lamb of God. He sacrificed His own Son for you. You don't have to offer up all of that anymore. All you must do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the eunuch goes, behold, there's water. What's stopping me from being baptized into this? What's stopping me from coming out of my old identity and stepping into the faithfulness of Jesus Christ? Nothing. says, do you believe in all your heart? And he goes, I do. Then stop this chariot, get in the water, and let's get this on. How much simpler does it get than that? That's all it is. God, I've been running astray. And I've been running because I feared the punishment. But Lord, I believe this day that your Son, Jesus Christ, took my punishment so that I don't have to run from you anymore. And I'm ready to come home. I'm done. It's the I'm done that's represented by the in the water. That's the I'm dying. I'm joining him in his death, in his burial. And I believe that I'm being raised to the resurrection life of Christ, conformed into his image, in my risen King. Into new life. No longer who I was, but who I am now in Christ. Whew. Wow. Does that bless anybody? I mean, I think about that. Who in their right mind would punish one innocent child for all of the failures of all the other ones? I couldn't do it. That'd be like, I'm just going to beat Elizabeth because all of the other ones ran astray. Don't worry, honey. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, she's laughing at me. It's like, Dad wouldn't do that. But our Heavenly Father did. And it was all because He loved each one of us. Debbie, He did it because He loves you. Sometimes we just need to hear that personal. Debbie, He did it because He loves you. Joe, He did it because He loves you. I keep preaching, we'll all be in the pool at the same time. Laura, He did it because He loves you. Matt, He did it because He loves you. Devin, He did it because He loves you. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him, for in that He died once. He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the matter of men because of the infirmity in your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then those things whereof you are now ashamed? for the end of these things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are just men, and we'll make this religious so easy. And the argument has been, well, you're not saved unless you're baptized. Well, the man that died on the cross next to Jesus wasn't, they didn't take him down off the cross and baptize him. Okay? In the same way that he didn't speak in tongues, because I've heard people say, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. It's no coincidence that my wife brought up being baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning. I don't believe that that's true either. I think it's there if you want it. And yes, there is a real being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not a religious thing. It is a public proclamation. It was cool. This all started, just so you know, I'm going to kind of pass the blame a little bit here. I'm going to kind of include my cohort that started this whole thing. My brother Travis came to me a few weeks ago and said, my 40th birthday is on the 12th. It is today, right? 40th birthday. Happy birthday. Yes. Yeah, his wife, can I tell on you? Does he know about this? His wife, Kelly, had been working behind the scenes and was already trying to set all this up when he could feel it. That whole one flesh thing was working. They didn't even know it. And Travis came to me and said, you know, it's my 40th birthday. Can I be baptized? And I'm thinking, wow. His wife's looking at me like, did you tell him? I was like, didn't say anything. Your wife was really trying to bless you, man. And it was awesome. In hindsight, you know that. But Travis came to me and said, you know, it's my 40th birthday. And I'm just like, I just want to be baptized. Is there any way we can do that? And I'm thinking, yeah, we can do that. And he's going, I'll even go to the river. And I'm thinking, oh, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way than the river. I'm baptized in the river. And we'll go if we need to. But I'd rather just stay here in the warmth than set up a pool in the sanctuary or something. So I went, yeah, we'll work something out. We can do this. And this week, man, I was just having a week, and I called Travis, and he just wanted to talk to him. Where's your heart? You know, I just wanted to hear it in his own words. Why do you want to be baptized? What is it? And I don't think it's just the man's turning 40. That brings its own stuff with it, but I don't believe that there's any coincidence to that. There are 40s all over in Scripture. And I think where his heart was when I said, you know, just why, what's the deal with baptism? And he goes, you know what? He goes, I just want to love God. And he goes, and I just want to do something and everybody know that I just want to love God. And it's like, man, you hit the heart of baptism right there. That's what this is all about. It isn't a religious act. This water isn't going to do something miraculous. It's the Spirit of God that hits you that will do something miraculous. But it is that public proclamation. It's putting works to your faith. It is that I'm believing into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I'm willing to do something in the physical to show everybody that I no longer belong to myself, that I belong to Jesus Christ. Travis, behold, there's water. What hinders you from being baptized? Amen? He believes in his heart, and I love that heart. And next thing you know, there was kids, and my daughter looked at me and says, I want to be baptized. Dad said, well, let's talk. I want you to read Romans 6, and she comes back, and we had a discussion about what it means. And everything in that scripture, simply put, this is a public proclamation that you are joining Jesus Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. It's all throughout scripture. From crossing the Red Sea, from crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. Have you had a wilderness experience in your life, Travis? The last 40 years. Well, guess what? We're going to step into the Promised Land today. There's the example for you. I mean, I'm thinking about that this morning. It's like 40 years in the wilderness. I get that. I get that. Yeah. This is my best friend. I have three best friends in my life, and this gentleman right here, he followed the scriptures with me for 7-8 years. I didn't know him. And I'm Thank you. Thank you for being faithful. And I realize that we know that it's God's work in him, but God does use his faithful people. And thank you for preaching to him. Thank you for teaching him. Thank you for remaining in that. And I don't know when it was in your life that you first heard about Christ. You've spoken of your grandmother. I don't know. I mean, I've got grandmothers that prayed for me and shared with me, and moms that prayed for me. And I mean, just, I had people a lot of years when I'm out there astray that were praying for me. But I always knew in my heart where the truth was. And when I reached that place of brokenness for me, I didn't wait 40 years. I was like 29. But I was like, I'm done. And I was broken, done, and just done with me. And I remember standing in my house going, God, if you're real, now's the time to show me, because I'm done with me. I'm tired of making choices for myself. I'm done. I'm done with my past life. And it was, yeah, I think 2 weeks later, I walked into the church that Sunday with the purpose of giving my heart to the Lord. I already had, I think, in my heart, but it was that public confession, Jesus Christ. And I came to a church service, gave my heart to the Lord. And I think 2 weeks to the day, was baptized in the swimming pool, and I believe Lori was probably there. There's a small handful of people that were here, and you can ask Lori, I was done at that point in my life. That was like starting over for me. And I'll never forget, I come up out of the water, and it wasn't anything miraculous. You know, it was just a personal thing for me. And I got on my bicycle soaking wet and rode home. And that bicycle ride home, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget just the feeling in my heart, just knowing, man, I was just all by myself. Over here on 4th Street, got on my bicycle and rode home, maybe 7-8 blocks. And it was just, that was a life-changing thing for me. I don't know where you're at in your life this morning. I don't know. Maybe you've had a week like I've had. Maybe you've had 6 months like I've had. I don't know. I feel battle weary. I'm just like, I'm going to be baptized this morning. I want a couple guys to jump in this water and I'm done. I feel like I've just been through the battlefield and I just need to wash all the junk off. You know what I mean? I don't know scripturally where all that stands, but this man needs to be baptized this morning and reminded of who I am in Christ. Amen. So I say let's baptize some people. I'm going to take this microphone off and just kind of project over all of it. So, we would rise up, and that it would be so this morning. Lord, it's nothing but a step of faith. But it's by faith that we please you. It's by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. And I do believe, Lord, that you paid our punishment. You took my sin. You took the sins of the world on the cross that day, and you shed your blood for the remission of our sins. It is the love of God expressed in the greatest sacrifice of the Son. And Lord, we take that moment just to rejoice in that right now. To thank you, O God. We bless you, Lord. You have your phone in your pocket. I would suggest taking it out. Hey, that's not so bad. Behold, there's water. I'm not going to laugh at you one bit, brother. I am so blessed by your step of faith and even asking you that as one, brother. Still laughing about it. Nothing but joy to the Lord. I'm not first. I will be baptized today, but we're going to be baptized first.
And I understand there was a few, there's some kids, there's anybody that brought clothes to be baptized can be changed now.
Okay.
I just brought clothes to change.
Hey, Marco, there's a couple more pans of hot water. Do you want to bring them in, please?
Oh, really? After a minute? It's really not so bad now that I can't do my leg. It's really not so bad. I'm not all the way in yet either.
Are you
close? Yeah, are you ready? Whatever you just tell me. Somebody's got to be first, brother.
You started
this? You might as well jump on in here.
Yeah.
It's warm.
Keep telling yourself that.
I'm going to have you step right over here. And then we're just going to ask. I'm going to have you cross your hands just like that. Okay? And then we're going to grab your arms and your shoulder. You just keep your arms solid right there. And we'll take you back and we'll bring you back up. Okay? First, I want to ask you something. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you understand that before all of these witnesses today, you stand here and you say, I am joining Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, and he is the Lord of my life? And we declare today, you may be baptized. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. There is a parallel between this and the labor in the tabernacle. And the labor was an absolute place of identity. And I believe that scripturally we see where continuously from the surface of the water, the Spirit of God would brood upon the surface of the water and then God would speak. And I just feel like the Lord has a word for you this morning. He wants to know how well pleased he is. And the love that he has for you, I pray that you would just be enveloped in that for the remainder of your life. That there would be no doubt, there would be no unbelief, that you would walk in the things of God. There's a call in your life, and you know that. And it doesn't matter what it looks like, just know that it's the call of the living God. Amen? Lord, I bless my brother this morning right now in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for the Spirit of God that is upon him. I thank you for the step of faith this morning before all that are here, and it's all to the glory of you, Jesus. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. honest, craziest thing I've ever done.
I know, right?
I still find myself kind of standing in a pool in the sanctuary.
Oh, my God.
For the end of the call, we'll make this quick. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And you stand here before everyone today, and you're joining Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection to live for him in your whole life. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Proclamation that you are joining Christ in his death,
burial, and in his resurrection to live and live for him. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, Mikey. Anybody else? It was cool.
everybody that's here.
Baptized into the church, which is the body of Christ as a whole. Okay? Don't believe in being baptized
If you believe in Jesus Christ, this isn't about being baptized into Harvest Christian Church. This is being baptized into Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? And you stand before all these witnesses and you say, I'm going to live my life with you, joining you in your death, burial, and resurrection. To baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Isaiah, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And you stand before all these witnesses and you're saying that I'm joining you in the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to live my life for Christ. Father, with this. Amen. 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 Let's give him a hand.